And I was so happy that you didn't mind sharing
Can
what
we name them?
well, why did you
We
come
got.
up with these code names? Why did you come up with the code
Oh,
names?
so no one recognize the person, but yeah.
So
So
your
they won't
kids.
discover them. They won't find out. The whole world don't need to know our business. Yep.
Okay. Shauna, what were you going to say?
If anybody at school hears that we like them, the whole entire school is gonna know. Rumors
Oh.
spread like wildfire. Yeah, and it's also the rumor is also gonna change up.
Okay. So let me hear what the questions are, who the questions are in code.
Okay, so we got pineapple, we got Skittles, and we got King.
Pineapple, Skittles, and King. Y'all making
Y'all
me
should know
hungry.
who y'all should know who King is. It's an obvious name.
Nah, we're not gonna do that. We're not gonna blow up nobody's spot. Well, listen, I wish you all the best in your junior high school experience with crushing and grades and all that stuff, sports and music and all that stuff that you're doing. And you're juggling it and you're handling it so well. And we're here to support you and encourage you. And I'm so glad to have you on with Chick Chat in this school year. We're gonna end up our segment today with some little information we wanna share with our audience, a word or two. We talked about what is the slang word of the day?
Being the Lulu is the Salulu.
Being Delulu is a Lulu. That's cool. So what does Delulu mean?
Delulu is a short term for delusion, delusional, and means to imagine the person you to like you back.
Okay, so you can be Delulu over somebody. Can you give it to us in a sentence?
A sentence for Delulu is, "You're always being so Delulu. He's not your man."
Oh, okay. So, okay, if I was
Yeah.
going to use Delulu in a sentence, would I say, no, that dress is not cute. You're Delulu?
No, that's
That's
not
not.
what Delulu means.
It
It's
means
like
in different
saying,
circumstances.
It's like saying, "Oh my God, why you keep looking at that man? He don't like you. Why are you being so Delulu over him?"
So it's in the context of relational.
It could be.
It could be. What else could it be? Help me, help me.
If you're looking at yourself, like you bought new clothes and you keep looking at yourself in it and keep telling everybody how cute you look and everything, somebody might say, "Stop being so Delulu over yourself," because you're basically being obsessed. But you
Oh.
really, look okay. Mint. You
Okay.
look mint.
So that's our new slang word for today, folks. Delulu. Don't be walking around in the world being Delulu,
And then
because
people were like, "Oh my God, that one girl's being so delusional." And then it will be like
be a whole
the
problem.
whole world will know.
The whole world will know that you're Delulu.
Yeah, because it will just like get, because that one girl's just walking everywhere, being so delusional over that one boy.
Oh, we don't want to get caught out there like that, huh?
No.
Let's not get the Lulu over no boy, okay?
Yep.
All right. Well, Brother Randall, that's Chick Chat for today. Segment number one in school year 23-24. And we are Chick Chat. Thank you so much to Shauna, Janila, and to Deja.
Absolutely. This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC, Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
Hello, WGXC listeners. This is Matthew Whitney Harrington, Camp Hill, Hudson, Community Dinner Return. Come one, come all. Community Dinner is back at Camp Hill, Hudson, on Tuesday, September 5th at 5:30 p.m. in evening time at our Solaris building at 360 Warren Street, Hudson, New York. Come experience community meal, new people, and old friends over a fresh prepared meal with lovely vegetables meal by local volunteers. We'd be glad to see you there, and please bring a friend.
Waif Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Waif Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The Hudson Valley Picture Show traveling series brings cinema to locations around the region. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the Community Theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up, and didn't know where he was.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, youth radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fatia, and I'm also from Hudson, and I'm 9 years old.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
That's what we're going to do today. We're often joined by our friends Jada and Adelia and Claire and Georgia. Today it's just me and Fatia. Da-da-da-da. It's happened before, but it doesn't happen very often that it's just the two of us. It'd be very nice to chat with you today, Tia. Before we dive into chatting about books, though, we want to make sure our listeners know that we are in the middle of the fall pledge drive for WGXC. And we are doing everything we can to encourage listeners out there to support WGXC, our beloved community radio station. Your support helps WGXC to meet the most basic FM station operating costs and keep WGXC on your radio dial so you can listen to shows like Bound by Books and all of your other favorites. And with this pledge drive, we are specifically looking for, or particularly looking for, people to become monthly supporters to invest in community radio with a recurring donation of your choosing. Be anything from $5 to whatever upper dollar you want. Our current monthly donors range from $5 to $300 per month. But on the website, You can very easily set this up, deciding how much you're willing to contribute a month. $5 is about the amount of a cup of coffee here in Hudson. Might be able to get 5 cups somewhere else, but 5 cups here in Hudson. Could you give up 1 to 5 cups of coffee a month to support community radio and having shows like Found by Books on the air, where you get to hear from young people about what they're reading, what they're viewing, what they're enjoying, what they think about different issues, as well as from a number of other community radio shows on the air, from music shows, talk shows, specific themed shows around different topics. There's so much on WGXC that's really special and unique, and we're really lucky to have such amazing radio content here in this area, in the Columbia Green primarily listener zone. And I know there's some people that listen online too. Hello, online listeners. But anyways, we're hoping you'll help by pledging your support to WGXC, becoming a monthly supporter. Can go online to wgxc.org/donate to set up your recurring donation. WGXC is a program division of Wave Farm, which is a 501c3 nonprofit arts organization, so your contributions are tax deductible to the full extent of the law. So again, that's wgxc.org/donate. Or if you need help setting up your donation or want more information, you can call WGXC at 518-697-7400. Again, go to wgxc.org/donate or call 518-697-7400. Donations of any amount are very much appreciated and help us to reach our goal of having $5,000 a month in ongoing support from donors. We currently have 274 donors who have contributed towards that goal, which is wonderful. And we thank everyone who has set up a sustaining donation with WGXC. We also thank everyone who makes one-time donations. If monthly donations is not your jam, feel free to make a one-time donation of any amount. You can do that at the same site, wgxc.org/donate. You can just click off one time, go from monthly to one time, and make your one-time contribution. But thank you all for your support. Thank you to all our listeners as well, and to those who let us know that they've listened in. It's always nice to hear from you all. We're happy to get requests. Feel free to send requests our way. But yeah, we're going to talk about some books for a little bit, but we want to encourage everyone out there listening to support WGXC so that Bound by Books can stay on the air for many years to come. We have been on WGXC since the very beginning in 2011 with the station launch, and we're really grateful to have space on the airwaves for youth voices and youth content. It's very special, and we're appreciative and want to do all we can to support WGXC. So go to wgxc.org/donate or call 518-697-7400 to support WGXC. Fatia, you've been on the radio for quite some time.
Yeah, I've been on it since 2020, I think.
See, I could actually find your exact date. July 10th, 2020 was your first show. So quite some time. And we love hearing from Fatia. Fatia's been, over the years, our resident artist and author, sharing books that she writes frequently. And also you often share poems, which is always nice to hear too. And then sometimes you also share books that you've been reading. We like hearing about those as well. But yeah, it's been over 3 years of Fatia on the radio. Pretty exciting. So why do you think people should support WGXC and shows like Bound by Books?
So we can like keep on making shows like this.
Why do you like making the show? What do you like most about Bound by Books?
I like the most about Bound by Books is that we can share books and poems.
Mm-hmm. I like getting to connect with you all too. I've worked with so many different young people over the years through this show, and it's really nice to have these connections where I get to talk with young people every week and hear their thoughts hear what their opinions are. Sometimes there's a range of opinions on certain books or other topics. And yeah, it's I feel like not everybody has a connection to hearing the voices of young people unless you have children or work in a situation where you engage with young people, like you're a teacher or work in the library or at a youth service organization in the town. A lot of people mostly talk to people their own age. And even if they are, for our young listeners that listen to the show, they may only talk to peers that share the same interests as them. So it might be nice hearing from other young people. I really enjoy it personally, both as a participant and as a listener. And I love listening to other shows on WGXC too. It's the only radio station I listen to locally. And it's fun because every time you turn on the radio, it's something very different. So you might be hearing a world music show. You might be hearing hip hop or jazz or people talking about different issues, either specific to this area versus world issues. Might be a news program, might be a recording or a live broadcast of an event in town. It's just really nice to have a radio station that you can turn to and always be surprised and get something new from and not just hear the same songs over and over again or advertisements for whatever products. So I'm grateful for WGXC also as a listener and community member. But yeah, anyways, we're going to talk about some books now because I'm also very appreciative of books and bookish things. Figure I'll let you go first, Fatia, since you are the young person here on this youth radio show.
I'm going to share a gingerbread story that I wrote.
Oh, cool.
Once upon a time, there lived an old lady and an old man. One day, they wanted to eat something sweet. So the old man told the old lady to make something yummy and sweet. So the old lady decided to make a gingerbread man. So the old lady got out all the ingredients, flour, sugar, ginger, and more. After she got them all out, she made the gingerbread man. Then she baked it. The gingerbread man jumped. Then after the gingerbread man was baked, the gingerbread man jumped out of the oven and ran. The end. That's chapter one. I'm still writing chapter two.
Oh, cool. So it's a chapter book. That's fun. Is this an illustrated chapter book or is it just words?
It's just words. It's something that I wrote.
Cool. I wonder if I have any books that I wrote that I could share. Maybe next time I'll think about it. I wrote some books when I was your age or younger. They weren't as good as yours, but there might be something in there worth sharing. Where did you get the idea to write that story?
I got it from like a YouTube video that I watched. It was like a gingerbread man running. It was like a story based off it. And so, yeah, I decided I would like copy it. Not the exact. I would add some of my own from my head, my own details from my head.
Yeah, it's a good exercise taking a different medium. So like a visual, like a TV series or a movie. Or even a painting, and then trying to write a story from it. So you can use different words to convey things that are happening, the setting, the feelings, the words said. It's a fun exercise. I like it. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Banned Books Week. This week is Banned Books Week in the United States, and it is a week to draw attention to the issues around book bans in our country and to encourage people to support the freedom to read and to think how they can get involved to make sure that they're knowledgeable about the issues at hand. And I just wanted to share some stats. So the stats that I'm going to share don't necessarily include every single attempt at banning or challenging a book, because many book challenges are not reported to the ALA or covered by the press. So this only includes like a snapshot of that. So to keep that in mind, And this number does include challenges. So it's not just books that are successfully banned, but books that somebody has expressed concern over, has requested to either be removed or moved or used differently in some way in the library. This includes both school libraries and public libraries, and I believe academic libraries too, but I think those are sometimes less common. So these stats are from 2022 because 2023 is not over yet, but I know that the numbers have been high so far this year. So in 2022, the American Library Association documented 1,269 demands to censor library books and resources. This is the highest number of attempted book bans since the Library Association began compiling data on this over 20 years ago. And of these challenges, there were 2,571 unique titles targeted for censorship. So there's places where one book might be challenged 20 times, but of all of the challenges, there were 2,571 unique titles challenged. And some of the most challenged books include Genderqueer, a memoir by Maya Kobabe, which had 151 challenges that were reported. All Boys Aren't Blue by George M. Johnson had 86 challenges noted. The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison had 73. Flamer by Mike Corrado had 62. Looking for Alaska, 55. The Perks of Being a Wallflower also had 55. Lawn Boy by Jonathan Evison had 54. The Absolute True Diary of a Part-Time Indian by Sherman Alexie had 52. Out of Darkness by Ashley Hope Perez had 50. A Court of Mist and Fury by Sarah J. Maas, 48. As did Crank by Ellen Hopkins. And Me and Earl and the Dying Girl by Jesse Andrews also had 48. And This Book is Gay by Juno Dawson also had 48. There are different reasons cited for these titles being challenged. Often they are books that have either LGBTQIA plus content. Sometimes there are claims that they're sexually explicit, although that's not always true. One of these books is noted as profanity and claimed to be sexually explicit. One has drug use in it. And the majority of these are books written for middle grade or teen audiences, although there are some that are written for adult audiences. I think one thing that happens frequently with these challenges is that people challenge them based on somebody telling them what the content is without actually reading it and then reviewing it. And people often also make challenges looking at a very small part of a book as opposed to the context and the book as a whole, which is a very important distinction. I think it's really important for people to have the freedom to read. I think it's important to have access to materials that offer diverse perspectives and experiences. I think frequently people underestimate young people and their ability to read constructively and be able to handle material that is put in front of them or that they choose to put in front of themselves. I know one of these titles, one of our co-hosts picked up at one point because she had heard about it and thought it sounded like a great book. And she is not in the reading age for this book. She was much younger. And she started reading it and she got to a part where she realized it was meant for older readers. And she said, you know what, this isn't the book for me. I'm going to come back to it at a later date. And she put it aside. And I just think there's a lot of young people that have those skills and can make those decisions. And I also think that parents can talk with their kids about what they're reading and help them make decisions about books that fit their interests and their reading levels and their maturity levels. I don't think it's appropriate for one parent to decide what another parent's kids can read. And that's the problem with book bans when books are being removed from shelves in public and school libraries because one parent or a group of parents has an issue with the content it means that it's not accessible to everyone else's children if it's removed. So, and Books Week does a good job of calling this issue to attention. So this year there's also a special day, Let Freedom Read Day, which is going to be held on October 7th, 2023. And the American Library Association is asking everyone to take at least one action to help defend books from censorship and to stand up for the library staff, educators, writers, publishers, and booksellers who make them available. And I would say stand up for the readers too, who want to access these books. So they have a whole, you can find it online. There's a whole sheet of different activities that you could take. If you have 5 minutes, if you have 15 minutes, if you have 30 minutes, if you have an hour, things that you can do. From calling a decision maker, checking out a banned book for yourself and seeing what you think, buying a banned book and donating it or gifting it to somebody, or just buying it for yourself to support the author, the publisher, the bookseller who makes that book available. You can write a letter or email to your local school or library boards supporting this freedom to read. Or if there's issues happening in your particular community, you could also volunteer at your local library, start organizing in your community to support libraries and librarians in handling these challenges. So you can find out more online. You can go to uniteagainstbookbans.org, or you could search Let Freedom Read Day online, and I'm sure you can find some information. But I hope you'll look into the issue. I hope that some of our listeners will check out some of the books that have been challenged, especially those being challenged currently across the country in many places. There's a lot of really amazing books. I know I've read several that are on the top challenged books of 2022 list. One of them, which is for a younger audience, Flamer by Mike Corrado, is a really beautiful graphic novel that is inspired by his experience as a young man, and he really wrote it to try to help people like him who were growing up feeling really lost and feeling like maybe the world would be better without them, which it wouldn't. And it's just such a beautiful and touching book. It had me in tears at times. And the fact that people are challenging it because it has LGBTQIA plus content and because they're saying it's sexually explicit, which it's not. It just like is heartbreaking to me knowing how many kids that book could help, and that there's places in this country where those books are less accessible because of these book challenges. So definitely check that one out if you have time and are so inclined to read it. It's Flamer by Mike Corrado. We're lucky enough to have him join us at the Hudson Children's Book Festival this past year, and hopefully next year. He's come several times over the years. He also writes some really beautiful children's picture books, like Little Elliot, who's a little elephant. Very cute. But yeah, I hope everyone will take some time this week or in the weeks to come to become informed about the situation in our country right now in terms of challenges to intellectual freedom and the freedom to read, and to check out some of the works being challenged and support the authors and booksellers and librarians and publishers who are putting out really important work. But yeah, so uniteagainstbookbans.org for more info on Let Freedom Read Day. And switching up the topic dramatically, I wanted to share a poem since Atiya did not share one yet, unless you have one to share too.
I don't.
Okay, I'll share one for today because I saw a friend share this earlier and it reminded me. One, how much I love Emily Dickinson. Two, I love autumn, favorite season by far. But I also hadn't read this poem in a while, so I thought it was a good time to share it since we're in our fun autumn time where the leaves are changing and the temperature's fluctuating between 50 and 80 degrees on a weekly basis. So here's a poem called Autumn by Emily Dickinson. The morns are meeker than they were. The nuts are getting brown. The berry's cheek is plumper. The rose is out of town. The maple wears a gayer scarf, the field a scarlet gown. Lest I should be old-fashioned, I'll put a trinket on. That's Autumn by Emily Dickinson. It's a little autumn poem for us before we go for the day. And another favorite part of autumn for me is the annual Ghostly Gallop 5K that is a walk or run. So you can do either. It's a 5K race, but you can walk, you can speed walk, you can slow walk. It's a great community event.